morning. Thanks for coming out and joining us today. We appreciate that. We realize you have lots of other things that you could do, and it's an honor to be able to worship our Lord with you today together. We're in this series on apps, applications, phone applications, but also apps that God's Word has to help us with different struggles that we might have in life, problems that might come up with our spouse or our children or things of that nature, our finances, and what God's Word says about that to assist us. Now, the whole idea of app is to have the app, to look into the app, and then to apply the app to our life, thus, so it makes a difference. Today, we're talking about wise choices, smart decisions. Anybody ever make bonehead moves? Lots of times? Yeah, me too. How do you make decisions? How do you make choices? What kind of things do you use, tools do you use to make choices? Do you flip a coin? Do you, you know, poll Facebook? You know, do you go to a psychic? Or, you know, what do you do? How do you go about figuring out what it is you're supposed to do? You know, there's a couple of interesting apps out on the iPhone. One of those is called Choice Map. I don't know if anybody have Choice Map? Okay, good. I was going to say something. Okay, Choice Map is like this map where it's really kind of over my head because it talks about algorithms and bar graphs and percentages, and basically you put in the decision that you're facing and the various options to that or choices to that potential decision, and then it sorts it all out and does this thing and gives you percentages on what you ought to do. I mean, it's kind of crazy. But they're out there. There's things like that. There's things like that one. There's things like Decision Maker app for the Android to help you make decisions. The good thing is that we have an app for those decisions. We don't have to look into an algorithm. We don't have to do a bar graph. We don't have to check the percentages. I think that kind of stuff can be good to write down the pros and cons of something you're about to decide to do or engage in and see what might be the pros and cons of that. I think that can be a wise thing to do. But scriptures give us the wisdom we need to make those decisions. You see, all the apps in the world that I can have on my phone, they might give me advice. They might share some choices with me, but they're not always going to be wise. And that's the difference. I want my choices, my decisions to be wise ones that are pleasing to the Lord, but good for me, healthy for my family, you know, a good witness for my friends, you know, all these other factors that play into to our decision-making that sometimes we take for granted or we just forget that that's the importance of our choices. God's Word gives us something really cool also in James 1:5. Anybody know what James 1:5 says? Yeah, that was pretty good. That's how I'm giving out my appetizer this week, because someone could name that that passage. I'll get that to you in a little bit. Yeah, it's a great app. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So if you're in a situation where you're facing a decision today or a decision this week or a big choice you need to, God promises us that if you'll go to him in faith and you'll ask him and you'll count on him, you'll rally around other believers and ask them to help you and give you counsel and pray for you as well, that he will provide to you wisdom as to what to do. We don't have to say, well, I just don't know what to do. If we do the right things, he'll reveal to us what to do. And we all need that. We all need wisdom to make good, productive, right choices in our lives. It's too difficult on our own. Now, why is this important? It's important because of what Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians in verses 15 through 17. This is what Paul says. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. This is an incredible passage of Scripture. It's loaded. You have to understand the book of Ephesians and what he's telling these people. This is a church. These are people who are supposed to be believers like you and I, and they're acting like idiots, often like you and I can do, doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing, saying things we shouldn't be saying, going places we have no business going. That's what was going on here. And Paul addresses this church in Ephesus, and if you look at the prior chapters and stuff, he's really letting them have it, and rightfully so. As believers, we're called to do that. to call one another out when we're being stupid, when we're being a fool, as the words he uses. Because when he says, therefore, do not be foolish, what he's saying is, you're a fool. You're being a fool. And you've been a fool, and I've been a fool. Your family members, your friends have been fools. Be very careful then how you live. You look at that passage, and what it really means for you and I is, don't live carelessly. Because we do, don't we? With our health, with our relationships, we just kind of are flipping about them sometimes. We don't put into our marriages what we should, relationships with our kids like we should. We just live in a careless fashion, and then we wonder why things turned out the way they turned out. Be very careful in how you live. Do not be unwise, but wise. And that's where we get our question for today about wisdom, about being wise, because we're told not to be unwise, but wise. So we look at decisions in our life and we ask ourselves, what is the wise thing for me to do? How do I make the most of this opportunity? Because the days are evil. The days were evil then when he wrote this. And if you look around, you pretty much see that, you know, we live in that type of a world today. We live in it's not a morally neutral culture we live in. If you think it's morally neutral, you're going to be sliding down the slope with everybody else. It's not morally neutral. It's up to us to really be intentional about acting and looking different, or else we'll just look the same and we'll be going down the same wide, broad path to destruction. It happened then. It's happened throughout history. It's happening today. So Paul gives this church these words of advice to be very careful how they live, to not be unwise, but to be wise because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Don't be a fool, but understand what the Lord's will is. You see, the question here Paul is asking them, or having them ask themselves, is this a wise thing for you guys to be doing? With what Christ has done for you and what he's taught you and what you know about him, is this the wise thing for you to do? You see, where we make the mistake is we take the question, is this a wise thing for me to do, and we don't ask that. Instead, we ask, well, will I get caught? Is anybody going to know? Am I hurting anybody? Is there anything really wrong with it? Tell me you haven't asked those questions. And that's how we answer whether we go about whatever it is that we're about to do, whatever it is we're about to say. We ask all the wrong questions because it justifies. You see, our life's not supposed to be lived in that capacity. Just because something is not wrong doesn't make it the wisest thing to do. Are you with me? Just because something isn't wrong doesn't make it the wisest thing to do. That's what Paul was telling this church in Ephesus, and that's what we need to understand. We got to do the wise thing. We're going to get into this deeper. There's inserts in your bulletins if you want to follow along as well as we go through this. But I hope you'll hear this. I need this. I need to work on this every day, and I think most of us do. It's not supposed to be how close can I get to sin without sinning. That's not how it's supposed to be. Sometimes we think if there's not a thou shall not, it must be a thou shall do as I please. But there's lots of thou shall nots that aren't in Scripture that we still shouldn't partake in. So that can't be our gauge. What we need to ask is this the wise thing for me to do? You look at your professional life, your personal life, the relationships you're in, your finances. Is this the wise thing for me to do? And have the courage to answer that. Not how close can I get to the line between right and wrong, right? Kids do that. Teenage boys, ask a teenage boy if you've seen how close he can get to the line is. And that's what they do. Be on a diet. And what is the first thing you say? Well, what can I get away with? How far can I go? Can I eat that and still, you know, be on, you know, on target? That's our nature. But it's not the wise thing to do. And that's the premise. That's what I want us to run all of our questions through today is this the wise thing to do in all areas of my life? Not how far over the line I can go and not experience consequences. Can I go just as far? You know, we do that when we drive, don't we? How fast can I go and not get pulled over? Right? You got it down to an art, maybe 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, miles over, because you know the cops don't want to mess with that. It's a penalty ticket, right? So you push it right to that. It's just how we're wired. It's just how we're wired, but it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. And even for everybody's doing it, it doesn't make it right. It's kind of like, in other words, however unethical, immoral, or unsensitive I can be without difficult outcomes, that's what I do. I just kind of push that ethical and moral boundary. As long as there's not a bad outcome for me, as long as I'm not going to reap the consequences, then I go as far to that edge as I can. And you do as well. We do it all the time. How far can I indulge in addictive behavior without actually becoming addicted? Right? Oh, I got it under control. I got this. I'm not addicted. How far can we dabble in that type of stuff and not become in bondage to it? We do it all the time with things, all because we ask, is there anything wrong with it, rather than, is this the wise thing for me to do? That's the question to filter everything through. Because usually when we say, is there anything wrong with it, a couple of weeks later, our next question is, how did I get myself into this mess? Right? That's how it works. And then you're picking up the pieces and you're trying to figure that out. I've often asked myself, how did I get into this mess? How did this happen? What went wrong? The moral of the story is, just because there's not a thou shall not does not mean it's a thou shall do as I please. You have to pray about it. You have to talk to fellow believers about it. You have to search God's word about it. Is this the wise thing for me to do to honor him and to get where I want to get in my life? You see, what's culturally permissible is not what's best for us usually. What's culturally permissible is not necessarily what's best for us. As a matter of fact, it's usually not what's best for us. You see, we have this father, and like any good father, next week we celebrate Father's Day, and like any really good father, and you should bring your father next week, and as fathers, you should be here with your kids next week, because, and that's my little plug for that, that's a good thing. But we serve this father, who is a good father, our heavenly father, who wants the very best for us. He doesn't want the cultural norms for us. That was never his plan. He has given us a standard that goes beyond cultural norms. He has given us a question that leads us to a better life, not a barely get by life, not a life of regret, but an abundant life. Because he loves us. That's what our Father wants for us. So he gives us this question. Is this the wise thing for me to do? Does this make sense? Is this a good thing? Is this productive? All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. 1 Corinthians 10:23, I think, but don't hold me to that. 1 Corinthians 10, yeah, that's what it is. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. We have to think about that. Is this beneficial for me? Is this helpful for me? Ask that for every invitation you get. Every invite you get to go there, to be with that person, to whatever it might be, is this the wise thing for me to do? Every opportunity that you face on a day-to-day basis to take advantage of somebody, to keep the extra change, to do this, to do that, to cut in front of them, is this the wise thing for me to do? Do that with your relationships. Is this person good for my life right now? Should I be with them? Should I be friends? Should I hang out with them? Should we spend time together? Should I decide to go out with them? Should I decide to say I do? Is this the wise thing for me to do? You see, it can't be about lust and that sort of thing. It's got to be about you putting this filter on there for all that you do and ask yourself, is this the right thing, the wise thing for me to do? Our culture will encourage us to do whatever it is we want to do. The world, the culture that we live in, is kind of like my backyard. And I don't know about your backyard, but I have a couple of dogs and I have a fence backyard. And that's where we let them out to go to the bathroom. And I tell people when they come out and they're in my backyard, I said, you know, they say, hey, can we go down in the yard? And, you know, I said, absolutely. But the first thing I tell them is watch out for landmines. It's a dangerous place. You got to be very careful where you step and how you walk, right? I mean, maybe you have that area, your spot, you let yours do its business. That's the way this world is. We have to be so careful about how we walk and where we step, because it's everywhere. And if we're not careful, like Paul said, if we're not careful, if we're not wise, if we don't make the most of every opportunity, if we act like a fool, we're going to be in trouble. It's great wisdom for you and I. Therefore, do not be foolish. Don't be a fool, Paul says. Don't be an idiot. I like what Forrest Gump would say in this. Forrest Gump would even tell us, stupid is as stupid does, right? Or I like to say stupid is what stupid does, but don't be fooled. Don't be foolish. And he wraps up this passage with, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, understand here. This is like Paul having this conversation with the church in Ephesus. This is like you having a conversation with your son or daughter, and they're not getting it. And you go up and you kind of grab a hold of their shoulders, or you grab a hold of their collar, and you just kind of get face to face. This is kind of what Paul at this point is. This conversation is like that, if you want to have a picture image of this. He's telling them to be careful. And he gets to this point, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And you say, well, what's the Lord's will? He's telling them that they know in their hearts what's right and wrong, and that's why they're doing some of these things they're doing in darkness. And the same is true for you and I. How many of us do stuff we know each and every day goes against the Lord's will, and we do it anyway? We justify it. We make excuses. We blame project, we minimize, we do all those things. And Paul is grabbing them and saying, don't do that. Understand what the Lord's will is and do it. Quit making excuses, quit justifying. Ask the question, is this the wise thing to do? And then answer it. How can I make the most of every opportunity God has given me? How can I not be a fool? Now, what is the wise thing to do is our question, but I want to run it through three filters really quick in the last couple minutes. Three filters for us, questions-wise, and these are on your inserts if you want to fill in the blanks. I think this question, what is the wise thing to do, needs to be asked in three different ways. In light of my past experience, what is the wise thing for me to do? Poet, philosopher George Santayana said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. In other words, those who don't pay attention to what got them in trouble yesterday are liable to end up in the same trouble tomorrow? True for you? It's true for me. God's word has something really cool that when he talks about this passage, it's in Proverbs 26:11. He talks about this whole not remembering your past and returning to something stupid and doing it again, and this is how he phrases it. Pretty graphic, but it should help you remember, if you will. Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. You ever seen a dog throw up and come back to it? Pretty sick, isn't it? Pretty stupid. Doesn't make a lot of sense. You kind of scratch your head and go, why would you do that? Precisely what God is saying to you and I when we make that mistake, and then on our next decision, we don't look at our past experience in making the current decision so we don't do the same thing we did last time. We return to our vomit, and we look just as stupid, just as silly. It's just as disgusting to the Lord because he's got us through that first time, and we're supposed to glean wisdom from that and use that in our next decision-making process, not to engage in what messed us up before. For example, relationships. We get this a lot, Roger and I. People come in and, you know, they want to know, you know, why does every one of my relationships end the same way? You know, why do they all? You know what the answer is to most of those why they end the same way? It's because they started the same way. And you probably had relationships like that. You struggle with relationships because they end the same way every time because they started the same way every time and you conducted them the same way every time. And if you don't start them differently and conduct them differently, scout's honor, they're going to end the same way every time. Unless we change that, it's kind of like me and golf. You know, I could go buy new golf clubs and whatnot. You know what? My swing still sucks. It's not going to make it better because I have new clubs. I have to fix the problem. I have to fix the error of my way in my swing. In order, I can't mask that with a fancy-looking club. You're not going to mask that with the next relationship. If you started it wrong and cultivated it wrong, it's going to end the same way. And you're going to scratch your head and wonder, why can't this work out? Look at your past experience. It teaches us so much about where we're going in the future and how to get there differently. Conduct it differently. Conduct yourself differently. Our personal history is unique to us. It's very unique to us. Your personal experience and mine are different, but it reveals our strengths and weaknesses to us. I guarantee your past, if you look into it, will reveal where you're weak. And it'll reveal where you're strong. And you've got to learn from that. In light of your past experience, what is the wise thing for me to do? And then put that in the context of every area. Relationally, in light of my past experience, well, I jumped in too soon, I met him at a bar, I didn't really know him very well, we got serious too quick. I mean, you get what I'm saying? Run it through the filter. With your finances, same thing. In light of my past experience, well, I got a lot of credit card debt, and he got me in trouble, and da-da-da-da-da. Learn from that, then. Pause and ask the question, is this the wise thing for me to do in light of my past? My past mistakes, my past experiences. The second thing is this. We not only have to look at the past, we have to look at our current circumstances. How many of us make decisions on a spur of the moment? I mean, there's a lot of truth in don't go grocery shopping hungry. Have you done that? It's a terrible thing to do. Everything looks good. And you always spend more money, and you always get a bunch of stuff that isn't even meal stuff. It's just chips and, you know, because you're hungry. Don't make decisions without considering your current circumstances. People do that when they're on the rebound from a breakup. They just want companionship. They just want, you know, somebody to love them. They feel down, and so they're vulnerable. You've probably been that person. You've probably seen that. James 1:19 tells us, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because usually when we hit send, we want to take it back. If you're like me, you've probably sent emails, you've sent texts, you've made that call, and then you thought, what in the world was I doing? Because I didn't take my emotional state and what was going on right then into mine and take a deep breath. You know what you got to do when your emotional state isn't right, when you're angry, you're frustrated, you're stressed out? Don't do anything. Turn the phone off. Turn the computer off. Stay away from it and just wait, because your response will be entirely different if you'll do that. In light of my current circumstances, you know, I'm struggling with my son, I got this going on, I got da-da-da-da-da. I have to understand what my mood's going to be. I have to understand where my emotions are at. I have to understand what's going on with me. And I have to filter my decisions through that, or else I'll make poor choices, because our current circumstances are a reality. They're a reality in our life. You have what you have going on, whatever it might be. Current circumstances needs to matter. But it's not just the moment. It's even a season of life thing. This is a season of life thing. What might have been okay in a season of life for you before is not necessarily okay now in your season of life. Maybe last year, maybe 2 months ago, you were looking at buying a vacation home, and maybe now you lost your job. Well, it's not a good time then to buy a vacation home if you've lost your job. You see, the season of life for you has changed, and so it's not the same as it used to be 2 months ago. I think about that for us with Kelly and I taking in foster kids. There's a point where that was good for us. I'm not so sure taking in more kids is good as I get older and older. There's probably a point where I got to quit taking in good kids, because the season of my life is different than it was before. You see, it wasn't wrong then, but it starts to become wrong now because of where I'm at. Maybe physical health-wise, you look at it. Should I take this on? Maybe with the responsibilities and commitments you have already in your life, should I take this on? With those current circumstances, is this a good thing to bite off? The season of your life. I got a neighbor who struggles with the season of life thing. He lives across the field from me. And I'll just say he's probably about 30 years older than me. And he likes to ride his lawnmower, and he likes to weed his yard. And he likes to do all this in a Speedo. And first of all, I think Speedos are probably always a poor choice. Just a bad decision. But yeah, I mean, I don't care what you look like, but when you're just not quite in your prime anymore, and it's not fun for the neighbors. It's not fun when you have kids and, you know, they wonder why in the world that guy's practically naked on that riding lawnmower. But it's a season of life thing, maybe. Not maybe with the Speedo part. That's a never thing. But the riding the mower and the wearing no shirt and different things, you know, looking like that, maybe you could have pulled that off back when you were, you know. But you got to know your current circumstances. Does this make sense for me? Should I do this? Should I? Ask that, people. Ask that. We have to remember that what was okay a month or two ago may not be wise today. You know, eating Big Macs might have been fine for you last month, but if you had a heart attack yesterday, I'd probably not eat 2 Big Macs today. You know, just simple things like that. You just have to look at where you're at, what's going on, and make decisions based off your past experience, your current circumstances. And the third one is this. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? So I've looked at my past and tried to make good choices through that. Looked at my current circumstances, what I'm dealing with. And then you get to your future hopes and dreams. And so in your decision-making process, whatever you're about to do, wherever you're about to go, is this going to help me get to where I want to get next week, next year, next month, next year? Or is this going to get in the way of where I want to be? Is this going to mess up my path to that? You see, all too often we make those decisions without the future in mind at all. We just kind of do what we want to do. We just kind of be stupid because it feels good and, you know, it's fun and, gosh, everybody's doing it and I want to do it. And now our future is sold out. We've given it up for a night. We've given it up for a moment. We've given it up for a weekend. We've given it up for a habit. You've seen people do that. Whole life's messed up because of a choice, a one-night choice, a one-minute choice. Because they didn't pause to say, is this the wise thing for me to do in light of my future hopes and dreams? Is this going to be good for me? It's a great filter to ask yourself, to slow you down. We rob ourselves when we make decisions without thinking about the future, having the future in mind. How many times have we seen somebody trade their future hopes and dreams for something that wasn't worth it? Today's decisions must be evaluated in light of how they will impact and shape tomorrow. The truth is that your financial situation and mine will be dictated by decisions and choices we make financially today. What I put into my marriage today will affect the condition of my marriage 10 years from now. The decisions I make today, the choices I make, probably the choices you made 10 years ago have already affected your marriage in whatever way. Maybe you're not even together anymore. Or maybe it's a marriage that's on the rocks. But we don't think about it. We don't look at it in the big context, and we need to do that. Your children is another important thing. My future relationship with my kids will be determined by decisions I make today. They're going to choose your nursing home. It's really, really important that, you know, you're nice to them. Or at least be nice to the one that's going to have the best job and the most money. No, but you see that with kids that don't want to go see their family, don't want to see their parents, that don't really have much to do with their kids as they grow up. And why? Because that relationship was lost a long time ago. And yet, as a parent, if you pour into that relationship properly, do all the work now, the decisions you make today will make sure that that relationship later is a really, really good one. And it's especially true for our relationship with our Heavenly Father. If we put nothing into that, if we make poor decisions and choices today, our relationship with our Father next year, next month, 5 years from now, is not going to be where it could be or should be because we've robbed it. The choices and decisions we make today will impact and influence where we're at in our walk and our journey with the Lord. We have to think about our choices. We have to consider our future hopes and dreams. When we stop to make these excuses like, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong, or people do it all the time, or I'm not hurting anyone, or I can handle it, or nothing's going to happen. You've heard all these. We need to stop and we need to ask ourselves, what about my reputation? What about my relationship with God? What about my relationship with my children? What about my marriage? What about my professional, how's it going to affect? Think about all these things. Run it through that filter. Is this a wise thing for me to do? In light of my past, which speaks pretty clearly about my weaknesses, in light of my current circumstances, which aren't in a good spot to particularly do that, and in light of my future hopes and dreams that I want with God and that I want with my kids and that I want in my retirement, should I do this? The beauty is, once again, we've been given wisdom. We've been given the opportunity by Paul, just like he grabbed the church in Ephesus by the collar and says, be very careful. In other words, don't be careless in how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Don't be a fool. Don't be an idiot. But understand what the Lord's will is. We can't cop out and say, well, I didn't know God didn't, you know, wanted me to do. You know what God wants you to do. You know right from wrong. Your heart hurts when you do wrong. You do stuff in the dark because you know you don't want people to see it. It's a matter of getting over that. That's what he's telling them. Knock it off. Quit justifying. And make good decisions. The beauty is in James 1:5, he promises us that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. A God who generously will give to all who ask him. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for wisdom that comes in your word. I thank you, Father, that all of our decisions we face, you care about, and every single one of them, you will lead us and guide us if we'll simply humble ourselves and cry out to you. Your word promises us that if we will ask for wisdom, you will give it to us, whether it be through reading your word, whether it be through prayer, whether it be through fellowship with other believers. You will use all these different venues, God, to speak to us and to direct us to what is right and what is wrong. Lord God, help us in our decision-making. Help us not to return to our vomit. Help us not to make the mistakes of our past. Help us in light of our past to make good decisions today. Help us to make sure we understand our current circumstances as we make decisions today. Help us to be in view of our future hopes and dreams as we make decisions today. For all of these elements of our lives affect our choices. God, we want to make wise choices, and you have an app for that. It's your Holy Spirit in this world. It's your word in our hand, and it's this body of believers in our midst. May we use those things, tap into those things, so that we can make wise choices. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.